Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, where is God and what is his will for me? How can I find answers? How can I be at peace? What does it mean to be a good person? As we reach the midpoint of our journey through Lent, each of the lessons this morning provides a route toward God and his truth. In the Gospel of John that we just read from, Jesus contrasts the massive temple and its Passover operations to the temple of his body. God will encounter us not in a temple with priests and incense and animal sacrifice, but in Jesus, the incarnation, the intersection of the divine and the human. Likewise, in our second reading this morning, Paul indicates that the route toward God and his truth is found in the cross of Christ, not in the things that Paul scorns as signs and wisdom, by which Paul seems to mean magic and arcane mysteries. The crucifixion of Jesus can be a stumbling block and appear to be foolish, Paul warns, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That second reading was the reason that our service began with this song and these words, "Holy God, holy and beautiful, beauty unsurpassed, you are despised, rejected, scorned. You hold us fast, and we behold your beauty." The psalm this morning was assigned to accompany the reading of the Ten Commandments. The psalm was kind of long because it's in two big sections. The psalm contrasts the beauty of creation, specifically the heavens, what we would call space and the solar system and the stars, and how the heavens sing of God's glory, but not in words that humans can understand. For us, the psalmist says, the written teaching of the Lord, his commands and precepts are where wisdom and answers lie. The commandment of the Lord, we sang in our refrain, gives light to the eye. God's law, the Torah, is more desirable than gold and is sweeter than honey. Where is God? And what is his will for me? How can I find answers? How can I be at peace? What does it mean to be a good person? Our first lesson, the Ten Commandments, is also a route to God and to his truth. You might not realize that at first. The commandments are abused by our culture and our society, and in particular by certain politicians who want to put God's brand on things that are very human. So there is frequently an effort in our culture to connect the Ten Commandments to our system of laws, which, when you think much about that at all, is really insulting to the Ten Commandments. Only three of the Ten Commandments are actually laws in our society. You shall not kill, you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness in the technical sense of perjury. There are 314 words in today's first reading. Only 17 of those words are comparable to the laws of the state of Arizona or the laws of the United States of America. 314 words in today's first reading. They do not bend or yield very well to politicians, to political parties, or to the cultures, to the culture and values of our society. They do not bend very well, frankly, for religion. The Jews divide the 314 words one way. The Protestants divide the 314 words another way. And the Catholics divide the 314 words in another way. By the way, Lutherans are on the Catholic side of that one. So if you want to unite Jews, Protestants, and Catholics around the Ten Commandments, you actually have to list 12 commandments. You have to split those 314 words, or 326 words in the King James Version, into 12 commandments in order to make everyone happy. And of course, no one is going to be happy when you do that. Roy Moore, the judge who installed the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court of Alabama before he was removed from office the first time, had 11 commandments on his monument, bridging the gap between the Jews and the Protestants. But as for the Lutherans and the Catholics, you are out of luck in Alabama. You see, there is a deeper wisdom in the Ten Commandments. It does not bend to human will and human manipulation. It is not a code of criminal law or civil law. Even the most elementary of the commandments, the one that we would all agree on as absolutely essential to civilization, you shall not murder. Even that one is where Jesus himself said, if you think you are keeping this commandment, think again. Jesus had this little episode called the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you've heard of it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Check it out. Of course, Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount are the guiding star for Martin Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments in his small catechism, which for centuries has been the foundation of Lutheran confirmation. Martin Luther says, if you think any of these commandments are easy, common sense, self-evident precepts, then you are not paying attention. And you certainly would not pass Lutheran confirmation. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eye. How is that? First of all, coveting is in the commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female, slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Saint Augustine thought this was the spiritual key to the Ten Commandments, this rule which is not found in any law of any society. And it's because of St. Augustine that Catholics and Lutherans divide those 314 words in such a way that two of the Ten Commandments are about coveting. There's a lot of discussion about coveting because it's such an odd part of the Ten Commandments. Like I said, everybody agrees you should not murder, but coveting? And that was St. Augustine's point. Our very nature is directed against God. Coveting is definitely a problem, even if you're not St. Augustine. Coveting is definitely a problem when wanting something or wanting someone so much begins to affect our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. And you don't have to be Saint Augustine to see how that happens easily and often. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eye. In fact, doesn't most of advertising exist in order to make us covet? And name me one part of the world where there are no advertisements. Are there advertisements on your smartphone? Are there advertisements on your in your newspaper? Are there advertisements inside the bus? On the outside of the bus? Are there advertisements in the airport? Are there advertisements everywhere you turn? Advertisements on television? Commercials on YouTube? Are you saturated? Where's the one place you don't have advertisements? Oh, there's a billboard up there. That's, no, I can't see it. It says, give Eric Holton a raise. No, I'm just Advertising exists in order to make us covet, in order to trigger not only desire, but activity and choices in pursuit of that desire. Is there real happiness in a life of unending acquisition? The Ten Commandments, a route to God's truth, say no. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eye. When Roy Moore was being removed from office the first time, I was serving a parish in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and a member of my church purchased yard signs, plastic yard signs, like the kinds you buy for the kinds you get for political candidates during an election. These were yellow, with the Ten Commandments written out on each plastic sign, the Protestant version of the Ten Commandments, not the Lutheran version. And he brought those to church for our members to take home and put on their lawns, presumably in support of Roy Moore, possibly in support of the Torah. The renowned preacher, the Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor, observed that in the South, she too saw many of those signs in people's front yards, with people mowing the lawn around those signs on Sunday. Working all the time is a cultural value in the USA. In the 314 words, God says that he took a day of rest each week, and so should we, since we are made in his image. Rest and relaxation and gratitude are part of the structure of human life as God intends. Stopping to smell the roses is part of the Ten Commandments. But our society, our culture, enslaves us to a goal. Our culture's goal is permanent and constant consumption and permanent and constant toil. Nothing could be more countercultural than the commandments about coveting and about resting. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eye. The Hebrew word that we translate as law is Torah. As any rabbi will tell you, Torah does not just mean a set of rules for the Jews. Torah is the relationship that God created with his chosen people. It is a covenant, a relationship, a partnership, which is the principal reason that this text is assigned today in the middle of Lent as part of a series of 4 to 5 covenantal relationships from the Hebrew Bible to anchor Lent and prepare us for Holy Week. And so out of those 314 words, Christians chose the very first words to be thou shalt not. In other words, for Christians, the first commandment is you shall have no other gods. But for the Jews, the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So out of those 314 words, Christians just deleted the part about God saving the Hebrews from Pharaoh and Egypt and slavery. Christians delete the relationship. That's why Roy Moore's monument had 11 commandments, because he included the Jewish first commandment in addition to the Christian first commandment for a total of 11 commandments. So we Christians, we Lutherans even, often accuse Judaism of being a religion of laws and rules and no grace. But we Christians are actually the ones who edit the Jewish scripture in such a way to omit the saving and gracious work of God, which observant Jews actually see as the starting point and the anchor of the covenant of the Torah. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes, to the eye. In all of our lessons today, we are turned from the common ideas about religion to the uncommon truth of God and what He intends for us. In the gospel, Jesus shifts the focus from a temple institution where God meets human beings toward Himself as the place where God and humanity intersect. In the epistle to the Corinthians, Paul says it is not flashy signs and magic, nor is it the secret wisdom hidden in the Da Vinci Code that is the truth of God. It is the cross of Christ that is the great truth that we proclaim. In the psalm, the splendor of the cosmos is celebrated, but it is set aside so that the law of God can illuminate our path as we reflect upon it. And in the Ten Commandments, we find not a common sense code of law and ethics for society, but a radical challenge to human nature and to the values of our own culture. Where is God, and what is His will for me? How can I find answers? How can I be at peace? What does it mean to be a good person? The answers are everywhere this morning. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eye. Amen.